Hi, I'm Tracy L. I'm your energy healer and intuitive guide, and here's why. So listen up.
My guest today is Tracy L. Clark. And like so many others who've joined me on Chatter That Matters, she openly shares her life's journey. And with it, I hope, lessons in life that we can all apply to help us get to where we need, want, and deserve to go. Her path is marked by pain and trauma, but also pursuit and triumph. Often in her life, she's had ladders without rungs, but found her way to summits that few of us have reached. Her world is where transformation meets transcendence, where every heartbeat is an opportunity for rebirth. She connects with those who hear a call for change deep in their spirit, who need to have their energies aligned.
You came here with a divine blueprint. So now it's an earth school. It's a game for you to unlock it. The key is you have to learn to love yourself and jump in at all costs.
Her thinking is so profound and her passion so pronounced that the International Association of Top Professionals crowned her with the title of Top Energy Healer of the Year. It's a recognition well-earned for someone whose powerful presence has graced ABC, Fox, NBC, CBS, and the lives of thousands.
This is Chatter That Matters with Tony Chapman, presented by RBC.
Tracy L. Clark, welcome to Chatter That Matters.
So happy to be here today.
And Tracy, we have so much ground to cover, but I want to begin with you reading an excerpt from your book, God, Where Are You? It's Me.
I came into this world sick, riddled with ailments. I was born with my legs and hips detached, pectus avectum leaving a deep hole in my chest. My stomach valve was closed shut, and a significantly damaged nervous system that caused excruciating pain throughout my entire life. I have nearly died over three times. Sickness, disease, and even a kidnapping were just some of the traumatic experiences I endured growing up. Over two decades ago, I decided to leave a marriage that was no longer serving me. After leaving with my two young children, I was told that my body was shutting down once again. I knew what was happening. At that moment, I was faced with a pivotal decision. As a single mother and sole caregiver for my two young girls, I had to decide, do I give up on life or fight like hell to keep going? Against the doctors who said there was no hope, the insurance companies who refused to pay for treatments, and what I felt like an unending darkness that threatened to swallow me whole, I dug deep within and fiercely fought for my life. I stand here today against all odds, healed physically, mentally, and emotionally, with my amazing daughters doing work that lights me up and feeds my soul. My life, once full of suffering, pain, illness, and disease, has transformed into a life full of joy, happiness, wellness, and financial prosperity. Every one of us has a story as how we got to where we are today. Our backstory makes us who we are in the present moment, but it never defines who we are or where our future is going. My story is one that started out with pain, trauma, and suffering, but it is also a story about resilience, strength, and determination. It is these qualities, along with love and never giving up, that have gotten me through everything life has thrown at me. Through the body regeneration method, I went from surviving to thriving.
Tracy, I hope I do justice to this journey. There's so many notes to play. And I hope that by the end of it, we're doing our part to raise a collective consciousness that there's more to life than what often seems to appear. But I want to begin by saying, what is the best way to describe who you are and why you matter to so many people?
That is a loaded question. So some people, they're like, you're like this little detective, because when people come to me and this is obviously a gift that I developed and was born with, is being able to look at the energy of the body and see what's creating a block or a resistance in someone's life, but also being able to help them understand how it's removed and how that energy shift in the body actually gives people strength, endurance to make a change and come from, you know, overcome fear. So going in, you know, and removing that block that they have so they can move into their authenticity and start living the way they want to live. And I'm my own test subject.
Yeah, this is what I want to talk about, because it's not just a gift you're born with. I mean, when you describe your health as a child, nearly dying three times.
Multiple times, even more than that. Yeah.
Do you feel that a lot of this intuitive sense came to you this way, that when one part of your body is failing, another is strengthening? I mean, do you think there was some relationship between the two, or was it just the cards you were dealt?
No, there absolutely is, right? Because, and when you're born that way and you're picking up information and there's no one to talk to, no one to tell, you're, well, as an infant, you know, being very sick, but also I say it's like a compass, a roadmap that we're not taught how to fine tune and follow. And so every time I was working as I, especially as I got older and understanding that every time I was trying to go with the grain of what we're taught we're to do, life even got worse because intuitively I could feel something was wrong. So yes, you have to come through that adversity to fine tune who you are as a being. And that helped me fine tune my intuition and what I do today.
When we talked about multiple times where you almost died, but if that wasn't enough, and I cried when I read this in your book, the night your dad threw you, your sister, and your mother out, and you ended up in a shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, take us back to that, what you remember and how that helped frame who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's something you don't forget. So yes, he had moved his girlfriend in. My mom was overseas. And when she came home, obviously he wrote her a letter, like, don't come back. And she's not going to do that. She came back. But, you know, we're trying to sit here going, who's this woman? Where's our mom? We're little. And he just basically, she showed up. It was late at night and we closed in a garbage bag. And actually the shelter we ended up with that people don't realize was actually 4.5 hours from where we lived, because we lived far, far, far. We were in one of the last towns in Saskatchewan. So, you know, for people listening, it was very far north. So we had to come very far south to even have a place to be.
And then it continues, you know, it's like there's a team of script writers trying to say, how do we paint the most horrible life, a pedophile, gunpoint, sexually abused? I mean, I'm not doing this for dramatic sense, but I have to say that the vast majority of the population, again, let's set the table. You've born with these horrific injuries. You've been thrown out in the street. Time and time again, you're being attacked by some of the most vile concepts of humanity. Most people would escape into drugs or choose to part this world. Some would grow up into a new generation of abusers. How do you think you managed your way through this gauntlet?
I always say when I look back, there was always something that pulled me out. And all the way I can equate it to was spirit. When I was 5, I felt like I was a 100-year-old woman in a little body. And I did try to check out a lot of times. That's why the near-death experiences, right? And I always knew that 100% I could turn into a sex addict, alcoholic, drug addict. I knew in my core. I can't even explain why. I knew. And I knew that although, like, when I went through a rape at 16, I started to turn to a lot of drinking, right? A lot of drinking and a lot of things. So you either turn very promiscuous or you turn very prudy. So let's say I went prudy and drank a lot, you know. But these things, there was always something that kept saying, you know what? No, no, turn the corner, turn the corner. I can't even explain to people. It was an inner knowing. It was a whisper that, wait, don't go too far. And when it came to addiction, because addiction is very centered around these traumas and dark energies and suppression. And You know, sometimes when I look back, right, and I look back, I don't know. I can't even give you the full answer because there was just a guidance that kept pulling me out and pulling me out and pulling me out that would give me a light that says, keep going or turn the corner. And that's all the way I can explain it, because when I look back, yeah, I should have been an addict of some sort, 100%.
I'm going to come back to this light that keeps coming back to you and sort of giving you this North Star or a compass. But I question, because I know that you have flatlined.
Yes.
When you were knocking at death's door, did you see anything on the other side?
There was light and music like you could never even describe here. Never. And even when I woke up, I was like, I don't want to be here. And I've been there a couple of times. I have gone to the other side, even now with what I'm doing. I've had times where I couldn't get back in my body. And that sounds crazy for people because they're like, oh, that's so strange. But yeah, there's a beauty over there that, you know what? When I felt like checking out again, that's what I held on to. That there is more to this world than just what we have been programmed to believe, which is not elevating anyone to who they're supposed to be. That's a slave.
I want to let the audience know I'm going to come back, and the vast majority of this program is going to be about your journey and healing and what you've learned along the way. But I would do disservice to your story if we didn't spend a few moments. And I, again, this is a little bit out of sequence, but for the listener, but we're dealing with an extraordinary entrepreneur as well. Like, you started your own business. Just frame it for a minute so that I know I can check that box saying we're not just dealing with someone that has this hyper-intuitive spiritual sense, but even within society, you're quite capable of succeeding.
Well, you know what I realized is because in my journey, and this has actually been even a newer epiphany, that everything in my life was figured out, figured out, figured out. Like when I told my mom about the guy in there, ah, you know, you're oversensitive. When I tried to ask my dad something or help, oh, figured out, figured out. So I never had anyone in my life until, you know, over the last, you know, probably 5 years, I never had anyone in my life that was able to help, listen, support. It was like, figured out, I'm too busy, figured out, I'm too busy. So I realized what I did as a young person was I dove into business. I loved business and I dove into creating something and I put all my energy in there, and it actually served me because I love it for sure. But if I hadn't had that, that was my saving grace. I look back and just the business acumen and understanding how pieces of puzzles come together. And that's what led me to, you know, obviously changing into my business today that I do. It was like a thrill in a way. It was an escape when I was younger, but then it turned into a passion.
Do you think it, in some ways, it was a good addiction?
100%.
Yeah.
It was a good addiction because it allowed me an outlet, no different than people maybe go on a workout or something. But I also found balance and harmony within it, which if I hadn't had those skills, I wouldn't have been able to transition into what I do today.
Why did you sell the business?
Oh, because simple, because changing times, technology, right?
What do you think you took away from your time, I would say operating in a physical world, but what did you take away about yourself that you liked the most and disliked the most?
About operating in a business world, a corporate world?
Yeah, just who you are and operating within this world. Like, I look back at my entrepreneurial career and I say, these are things I really liked about myself, and there's some things I wish I'd done differently.
Well, one thing when you're hyperintuitive, because you can see things that other people can't, you got to beat to your own drum. So what I loved about it is I could mold and beat to my own drum, right? I could do the things I wanted to do. I work great within organizations and I love learning, but you know, you would see where the pitfalls were, but people weren't ready. So, you know, it gave me the skills, the knowledge, and I love to learn. I love listening to other people and what they're learning and doing. And it allows me to constantly grow. So that's what I love about the entrepreneurial spirit is we'll fall down. And I realized, because I'd fallen down so many times and had to get up by myself, it was almost like a challenge. Oh, I fell down, but look, I got up. Look, I succeeded again. Like, I got to the next hurdle. And that's different for everyone. So that I really liked. But what I also noticed, what I was doing that I had to learn about myself, and this, you know, came when I was doing the business I am now, was it did become my escape from reality. Like, it did become an addiction in a way that I could shut out the world and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here. And that wasn't healthy. And I had to learn to find the balance that it was just something that I loved to do versus masking things when I was younger that I didn't want to look at.
I have a question that you could probably help me with. So I consider myself a very intuitive individual. And there's times where I've seen an unmet need, an insight, an opportunity for a client, and they refuse to see it. I get frustrated. I can't understand why what I consider the blindingly obvious, they're not grabbing onto. Is that something you experienced as well, that when one of the great frustrations of business?
I experience it today because I'll say to someone, well, I can see if you do this, you're going to have this on the other side. And a lot of people can see that. But what I've learned what removes the frustration is everybody has a time and they have to be ready. And you can, it's that old saying, right? You can lead the horse to the water, but you can't force it to drink. So until they're ready to seriously make the change, and nothing's going to happen. So what I do is I put it out there and I don't invest much more time after that if they're not willing to make that shift.
So I want to now take us back on this journey of you becoming a healer. And once again, trauma seems to be your catalyst. In this case, you're now married, you have two young daughters, and you find out you're in a very abusive relationship.
Yeah. Well, I knew I was in an abusive relationship before. I called my wedding off 5 times and my parents didn't listen. Like, I was young, no one listened. So what do? You're on your own, figure it out.
You're now taking on responsibility for these two daughters, and you know that it's going to be very important that you play a major role in their life. Mm-hmm. I had a father that was alcoholic and bipolar and a mother that wasn't. I know how important it is to have that bedrock. And you get sick again.
Yeah.
Quite seriously sick. But that becomes your doorway to who you are today. And I'd love you to sort of share that point in your life where you realize that maybe all the answers weren't with big pharma and modern medicine. And as you said, the grain, and sometimes you need to go against it.
Yeah. Because I did, with everything, right? We live within these constructs of what we're told to live with, what we grow up with. And my body had never healed. Like, I was very sick still when I got married, and it started to deteriorate quite drastically. So because I always say people kill people all the time with words, with actions, you know, we're not loving. It's more serving what people need, arguments. And so, yeah, when I actually left that marriage, it was because my body was failing. And I knew that if I didn't leave, I would be done. And there was something in there. I just hit that breaking point and I started to do some work. And I started to realize that, you know, everything is an emotion, is an energy. And I started to really dive in my gifts. So the things that would start to unfold, and I would learn that, wow, I was intuitive. I'm not crazy, because you'd be quiet about certain things because people think you're crazy because they just don't understand. When somebody doesn't understand something, you're a conspiracy theorist or you're crazy. And we have to stop looking at it that way. It's just somebody's fear. So when I looked at my children, I had to make some serious choices, because it was check out and leave them in this environment, or really take a different road and learn how I'm going to repair myself. But I have to tell you, my journey 23 years ago into energy work, there's nothing in life's an accident, but the way I was led to help is nothing more than miraculous. And I just kept following the breadcrumbs. But if I hadn't, I wouldn't be here today.
Tracy, I know a lot of your journey into becoming a healer happened during that time where you took control of your life and you started looking for answers beyond Western medicine. But even earlier in your book, you referenced it, that moment when you're kidnapped. Take us back to that story as well, because it seems to be all of these different blocks are coming together to build this Tracy L. Clark and this gift you've been given. So just share with us what happened.
Well, you know, a lot of times too, and I want to remind people, we think that we get stuck on the trauma rather than seeing where the gift is. And I know that sounds interesting because I was just like, I'm a kid. Like, don't tell me I created this. But basically, there was a gentleman that was in the area that we lived in. And I kept saying to my mom, there's something wrong with him. Like, I'm afraid of him. There's something wrong with him. And no, you know, he's fine. You're sensitive. And I'm like, no, there's something wrong. And then sure enough, we were in the park one day, my sister and I and another girl. And he came in and he had his gun and his dog. And he basically, in a nutshell, took us to the dugout of a house that was being built and wanted to have his way. And slowly, as this time unfolded and one girl was able to escape, my sister was able to get out, and she's like, I can't get you out. You're too small. I was already sick and frail. And she's like, I can't get you out. I'm going to come back and get you. And you can imagine the trauma that left for her. So I'm the one left there now waiting. And I could hear this guy's coming back because he was very pissed, that it was unfolding the way it was. And, he dragged me out of the basement of where this house was dug out, and by my hair. I was just little, right? And he threw my face into the ground and put the gun on the back of my head. And all I could hear was the sirens, and I completely blacked out. And so, you know, you're just little, you're just a little being that, and I was very, very frail because I was lived on a mask to breathe. I was allergic to everything. I had diverticulitis, irritable bowel, ulcers at the age of 5. Like, I was very small. And, but what happened was, after that, a lot of my gifts, they opened. I see the good, I see the bad, but they started to open in different ways. I was just scared and working to shut it down. But as I got older, I realized what was happening when I started this work in my 30s. And I started to realize, because, and no disrespect to profession, but I've been to every medical person. Like, people knew how many times I've been to medical people. My head shook and people thought I was having seizures. I've been to try to get answers. I've been to psychologists and counselors, and I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying there's not a place, but they couldn't give me the answers I was looking for because they weren't understanding that I was a hyperintuitive kid that was picking up all the energies around me. Nobody was listening to me. It was foreign in the early 70s. So, you know, and I was just lost. I was floating out there.
I mean, when I read your book and listened to your interviews, this light, is it tangible? Do you know when it's there? Do you know that, you know, the compass grabs you and points you in a certain direction? Or is it just a sense of feel that you gotta move with where this energy is taking you?
Yeah, it's a knowing. Everyone has it. It's buried from the minute we're born, really, so we will fit in this slavery construct of reality. And everybody has it. And the way I describe it is, you have your physical body and you have your essence, your energy body. And because of the patterns that we're born with and brought into, that energetic body's pushed outside of us. Basically, we don't even realize it, your intuition, whatever it is. And the more it comes into alignment, the more we start following that knowing. And I started to recognize, because I would see, feel, hear things. And as a child, I had a lot of, like, after the kidnapping, like, people would call them PTSD or trauma, but I was getting stuff that I'm like, no, this is really happening. And, you know, you would keep it quiet. And then when I started this road and somebody said to me, this is what you see, this is what you hear, this, I'm like, yeah. And I never told you. So there was a confirmation, and I was able to run with that energy. We all have it, but we're not trained to follow it. Because if we did, as children, what I've learned, if somebody was around to show me this as a child, my life would have been totally different. But again, then you break the matrix of what we're actually living in.
You know, you remind me of someone's in a coma, their eyes are open, you don't know if they can hear, and yet the person in the coma knows exactly what's happening, but they can't communicate. It must have felt that way for you to have this frequency, to know what's going on. Let's bring the story forward. We've got trauma and then how you transcend it. And, you know, we've talked about so many different parts of your life, but as you start getting healthier, you realize that your ability to heal others, to use this intuitive, to understand their energy, to help them get aligned, to help them overcome their circumstances, is something that's really making a difference. And I guess my first question is, you're going into a territory where you're combining, in some cases, science with spirituality. You're going into a world where we're so divided. I'm right, you're wrong. Two sides of the coin. How do you deal with the fact that people go, please, what you say you're doing is not possible? Or do you care that there's skeptics out there?
You know what? I don't care. And this is like something from, you know, if people have any kind of biblical background, I always say it's an easy way to put this, but if you look in time or you look in history, and a lot of people that understand anything with church, and I'm not, it's a totally different space, but when Jesus would go heal, there was a story that he would heal, no one would pay attention. No one pay attention. Well, everybody has the gifts. Everybody has on this planet the gifts. They've been stifled. And you have to not care, because there's going to be a whole bunch of naysayers, which you understand. They will call you all names, charlatan, this or that, because they're afraid. They don't understand. Science is a snapshot in time of where we are now. But the science changes over time. Like, coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. It depends who paid for the study and where it's going for. So, you know, people forget this and they got to be in their box, but they're in their box because they're so afraid. So I used to come against this and try to explain it. And I'm like, you know what? If you need to find the science, find the science. If it, you know, you'll find what resonates for you. And when you're ready, you're ready. I don't waste time with people like that anymore. I spend no time because there's a whole group of people out there that are waking up saying, I can feel something's wrong in my body, or I can feel when that's not right for me. Or I say, go back to the simple thing. You think of someone and they call you. We're telepathic. Go back to basics.
What you do is transformative. And an artist, when they transform marble into a sculpture or paint into a canvas, they see the body of their work. How do you know when you're successful, when that individual that's come searching for answers, that you can feel that it was time well spent?
Yeah, because they tell me, they're like, this health issue went away. Or they're like, I found that relationship I'm looking for. Or, oh my gosh, like I had a lady recently, she said to me, I have tried everything to lose weight, everything. And she goes, when I joined the community, she's like, I started understanding the tools, the energy. She goes, I changed nothing in my diet, but I lost 85 pounds in the last 8 months. Think about that.
How about the people that are looking for, I want a six pack in 6 minutes, or the Dr. Phil cure my mental health in 45 minutes? Because people have to be very open-minded to allow you to do your work.
Yeah. You know what? And this is the thing. We have this society that's been created. I say it's the goldfish brain, right? Nobody has more than 2 seconds to focus on something. It's been done on purpose, and it's been done on purpose to distract people from actually seeing what's going on in their world. Because when you've had a lifetime of patterns, things in the subconscious, I've had it in my business. Some things all of a sudden tomorrow, they're like, oh my God, I just quit smoking. I've been smoking a pack a day and I'm not smoking. Like, what happened? But I warn them, you're going to go back in those environments. You're going to probably start smoking again. So you're going to have to get rid of those environments that are causing this with your body, right? That addiction. But it is a process, and life is a process, and you have to understand where you want to go and why, and not be hard on yourself that it didn't happen yesterday. But if you've made the step, you can see the change. You might fall down and get back up. But we do that. And then you develop an awareness of what's leaving your body, and you develop an awareness of where all of a sudden your friends have changed, or you have a better partner. Your relationships are more fulfilling. You're out of drama, because drama, no one wants to be in drama. Like, all these things start changing. And when I point them out to people, they go, oh my God, I've changed so much. And that's the win.
When we return, Tracy opens up about her spirituality, my 3 takeaways, and then Sheila McGrogan joins the show. And I ask her how our personal brand can keep pace with the many changes that our career will take over the coming decades. Hi, it's Tony Chapman, host of the podcast Chatter That Matters. And I'm here to give a big shout out to a longstanding partner of RBC, Women of Influence Plus. This is an organization that isn't here to change the narrative. It is here to rewrite it, to create a more inclusive tomorrow. And one of their biggest initiatives is the RBC Canadian Women Entrepreneur Awards. For over 3 decades, they've recognized and celebrated the strides of Canada's most accomplished, influential, and impactful women. It is the leading women's awards program in the nation, working to elevate their important contributions from economic growth to social change across sectors, across industries, and across Canada. Women of Influence Plus and the RBC Canadian Women Entrepreneur Awards, well, that matters to you, to me, and to RBC.
Here is the key you want to remember. The more you let go of that negative energy, don't judge yourself. The more you say no to those very addictive behaviors and thought patterns and negative thinking, the more your light starts to take over. The more peace you will have, the more joy you will have, and the more you will have people in your life that understand who you are.
You're listening to Chatter That Matters with Tony Chapman, presented by RBC.
My guest today is Tracy L. Clark. Her journey is this crazy dance between trauma and triumph. And I'm proud to say that she was recently selected as the Top Energy Healer of the Year by the International Association of Top Professionals. If I can, I want to ask you a couple of personal questions. And if anything's offside, just say no, but.
Absolutely.
Relationship. You found somebody in your life. You have a loving relationship, an intimate relationship. How was that possible, given the many times in your life where a relationship should have been built on trust or people to protect you, that rug was pulled out?
Yeah.
Not just pulled out. It was dragged out by your hair and your face thrown into cement.
Yeah.
How do you open your heart to somebody and go, I still have the capacity for love?
You fall down, you get back up. And I became very clear what I want and what I didn't want. And I also spent a very good period of time alone. And, you know, this is the thing that people have this idea of what they're wanting to bring in, but you have to have flexibility, right? You got to understand that you're not coming from the same backgrounds. And obviously energy attracts energy, but I was able to attract a very strong, compassionate, loving man. And I kind of knew right away, it was like, oh, this one's very different. You know, you try to explain that to someone, very different. But I knew it was different because it was, and I'm not going to say this was easy for me. I had to learn it because he opened a space that was so safe where I could start to communicate and talk to him about things. And I realized my whole life, I never shared, especially with a man, I never shared anything because I would just, you know, I could make a safe space for my friends, my female friends, but I'm like, oh, I'm not going there. But every time I went there, he held that space for me. And he's like, I got you. Like, you're safe. I got you. You can explain it. And we could have conversations. Like, we don't argue. We just have conversations. And he's like, you're such a good communicator, but I can see where this is. I said, because I'd never had it. But here's the thing. People would shy away from that, think that the guy has to read your mind. And I say to the women all the time, no one can read your mind. So you need to tell them what you need or what you require, and not in a needy way. Say, this is my past. This is what I've experienced. But so I'm learning this kind of language with you. And we started to communicate that way. And now I work funny with a lot of couples that I teach them that same way. And their relationships are getting better because he didn't know what I needed because he didn't know my past in that way. He knew little bits, but then he was able to meet me in the middle, and I do the same thing with him. Right? Because we both have different backgrounds. So yeah, it took a while because I couldn't trust. I had no trust in it, but I didn't have a compass. And when I would try or I dated, they would let me down, or there would be like, they didn't protect me in a way I wanted to be protected. Meaning that I've been in situations where, you know, somebody would do something very offensive to me, and you would expect your partner to stand up and say, yeah, that's inappropriate. That's my person. They didn't do that. They would, oh, suck it up. I think you're hot, or something like that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm out of here. Right? You didn't protect me. And what's different now is if, when I say something to my current partner, he protects me. Like, he moves. He's like, I got you. And not in a aggressive way, in a very compassionate, strong way, which shows I've changed. And he's made leaps and bounds of changes too, right? So we're changing together. And a lot of people that I realize, they don't know how to communicate in relationships. And what I said is, the next, when I feel that there's a relationship that's right, then I want to start the foundation off. So I started to see energetically and ask, why are relationships so dysfunctional? And where's our foundation broken? And all the things that spirit showed me, I started to apply in this one, and it became effortless.
Beautiful story. Another personal question is, do you believe in God?
I do. However, I'm going to preface that. I always say it's the God of your understanding, but to me, a God is a ever presence of love that resides in all of us and within all the energies and universe and planet, all connected. It's a huge energy that we all tap into, but we all have it within us.
Third question is, the world's a mess right now. I mean, we're drowning in this storm of negativity, growing sense of impossibility, manifesting itself, mental health issues, substance abuse. Our government seem to be completely preoccupied with selling us everything they can, giving us now Aeroplan points for alcohol. What's it going to take for us to change as a society versus maybe where I feel we're heading is like lemons about to run over a cliff?
Well, I always say we have to let go of fear and move into faith. And the reason I say that is, faith is the actual energy of constant change. And it's a knowing that even though we can look at the crap in front of us, that things are changing. This is actually what got me through. I'm like, I know in my core that this is going to change. And The reason I say more people having to come out of fear and come together is because the way the constructs have been made was for thousands of years for these authoritative bodies to, you know, rape and pillage, so to speak. And if you look at, there's one person controlling, you know, a million, and everybody's bought into the system. And it really goes back, I would say, sometimes to that movie of The Matrix. We have to get out of the system. But the way we do it is finding our inner power and our strength and where we can say yes and no and coming together. You can't do any of this alone. And that's the division we've seen so strong over the last few years, is because humanity was coming together. But you got to divide the families, divide the friends, divide the people, isolate. Because when you divide and you keep people lonely, what happens? You're not empowered. You're not willing to stand up or, you know, do what you know in your gut you need to do. So people get very afraid, thinking that this has come so nasty. But I want to leave something with people to think about. And I learned this in my journey. Sometimes things have to get really nasty for you to say enough's enough. And you will never repeat the cycle again.
Do you think this is the dawn of the age of Aquarius? Do you think this is that collective consciousness? We're at that point where we are going to push back and put the humans back in humanity?
Yeah, I really believe, whatever anybody wants to call it, we are in a place where this pendulum has swung so far the other way that now people are rising up. It was interesting. I talked about this probably about 4 years ago. I said, Spirit showed me very clearly that we would see civil unrest in a lot of North America. And now you're starting to see things come out about, oh, civil unrest even more and more. And the reason it's happening is because people are saying enough. But what people have to understand is that there are souls at every level and layer of life, from the highest up to, you know, right to the person, the, you know, newborn baby. So every level that is waking up, that is saying something's wrong here and we need to change. So is it going to happen tomorrow? Does it all change tomorrow? No, I don't believe in that. I believe it's a process like anything, because the bodies also have to shift with that process. So a lot of times our cell structures are changing. So when you have a memory or something that's leaving, it leaves the body and then the body changes. That's what happens. You become stronger. Those things don't bother you anymore. You start to de-age. Like, aging is a myth. I'll put that out there. But, you know, it's this space of coming together, and that's what's happening. But the next 10 years is going to be very, very, very telling. It'll have ups and downs and ups and downs, but it's probably going to take 80 years for the final completion, for sure.
When you were that single mother and the bad health returned, and part of you just was exhausted and wanted to give up, mm-hmm. and your daughter said, "Mom, not now, we need you."
Yeah. Well, she actually, what she said was, I literally I left my body and I checked out. I had another crazy experience. I was at home in this one, and I saw those light, everything again. And they said, "You have to go back. You have things to do." And I'm like, and I could see my body there. And I'm like, no, I'm done. And I'm now a single mom in my room. Kids are at school. My daughter was 5 at the time, my young one. And, I'm like, I'm done. And this voice was like, "No, you are going back." And it was like almost having an argument. It was so peaceful. I kept going this way. And then I kind of got back in my body. And it was that night, I was going through all this health stuff. And my daughter came home and she says, "Mom," she's very intuitive. My younger one and I are like very connected. And she said, "I have a question." I'm like, "Okay, what's your question?" "What happens if I come home and you're dead?" I'm like, "What?" She goes, "What comes out if you're home, if this happens?" And I was like, and that was the moment. And then when she found out after I'd gone through all the medical stuff, she was in the car with me and I opened a letter and she was so mad. She was like, "Why didn't you?" She was 6. Like, "Why didn't you tell me?" Like, she goes, "I knew," because she was so intuitive herself, right? So, you know, I have these, but it wasn't a pivotal moment. And that was my place of, I have to stop this cycle. I have to stop it. And only I can choose to stop the cycle. And that's what people forget. They look outside of themselves to stop the cycle. You have to look inside. And that is a have to. That's a non-negotiable. You have to go within.
And as you look inside yourself, what's next in your journey?
There's so many doors opening right now. It's so great with, keynote speaking and writing another book and really, you know, giving people the tools and helping them understand how to be independent and really go into their authenticity and their love and not be afraid. And it's so, I'm expanding those programs because they're so fun, but I've been doing a lot more to go back on speaking and retreats and touring and stuff that, you know, was happening before COVID. And I had to take some time off. People think on this journey you don't, but I had things like my father passed. I had all these things that I had to deal with still personally, took some time off and came back in the winter and reset everything. And so now it's really been lovely. Yeah.
And two questions. Did you ever forgive your father?
I did actually. It was a year before he died. I actually went to see him and, I always tried to keep the relationship. I was the one that was trying to work on it and I could see what was going on. I could see what was happening. I have a lot of gifts from my dad that like my business sense, stuff like that. I have a lot of things from my mom for sure. And, it's a beautiful story. If people ever think you're never going to get the miracle. I never thought I would, but for, you know, well over most of my life since I was little, I would always ask spirit. And I said, miracles happen at any time and never just because it's not on your time, don't give up. And I'd say, I always wanted resolution with my dad. I always wanted resolution. And so a year before he passed, I was helping him and his wife passed first and he passed and, they weren't doing very well. And I was in the living room sitting there quiet, finally like, oh, I got to rest. Cause I had no sleep. They need a lot of care. And he came running out of the back and he sat down. And he started to cry. Now, no one's ever seen my dad cry, just me. And he started cry and cry and cry. And he looked at me and he said, I don't understand how you can call me dad. I don't deserve that. I failed you as a parent. I gave you no money, no attention, no love. I was selfish. And he went on and on and on for hours, a couple hours. And I just said, you know what? I wouldn't be here today without the journey. And he kind of said, I read your book, which I was surprised. He goes, please don't make a movie. I said, well, maybe I will. You know, cause he knows, he goes like, he knows I want to open up into talk shows and movies and stuff. Anyways, but he knew. And he cried. And the next day he came out again, he had more to say and he apologized for everything. And he said, I failed you. And I said, you know what? I learned. And that was why I was able to do it because I had nothing. I forgave him for whatever. And I realized had I not had that journey and that pain and that trauma, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
Tracy, my last question is, how do you reconcile when you have so many doors opened up and a lot of them got to be intellectual wealth, emotional wealth, financial wealth, a lot of individuals that just need spiritual health. How do you decide what path to go on, knowing that this light has been guiding you, that you're following the path that you're intended to follow versus the one where temptation might take you to a different destination? Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense because I had a very successful business life as everything else was failing. And then there was always hiccups because something that people forget when they're creating their world is, well, two things. One, you need to really be doing what you love. I know people say that. You got to follow your, at all costs, your passion, your purpose, and everything else will fall into place. And sometimes there's a way to bridge that. And when you really get that, you will be rewarded. The other thing is that I learned and how to say this. I'll say it the way I would say it, a teaching. So if people can kind of open and expand as they're listening, the God of your understanding, that connection to spirit, whatever you want to call it, universe divine, is your greatest connection you'll ever have. And we are disconnected from it. And that energy, what I learned, will never let you down. When you start to listen and understand, it will never let you down and it'll allow you to move through the things that you are needing to come to reconciliation with. We're not taught this in ever because everything is outside of you. So when you form that relationship, so guess what? And I teach this all the time. I'll say God, you can put it where you want. We turn our backs on that energy all the time. We don't ask, we don't look, we don't see. We try to figure it out ourselves, or we look to, you know, that relationship has to fix the void. Something has to fix the void. No, when you strengthen that relationship with the God of your understanding, and you know that will never leave you, no matter what is thrown in your face, that will never leave you. It will always guide you. It is a game changer. It's a game changer. And all the other areas of your life, because it's like a wheel, will start to show whichever needs to be looked at first. So it might be a relationship, it might be, but it's all stemming from inside you. And so that is the piece that has to be dealt with first in order to break all the other things that are not serving you in your life.
You've given me the impossible task, which I shouldn't be saying because you make possibility out of all impossibility, but I always end my shows with my three takeaways. I'm going to need a week of just digesting what I've just taken from you. But I will just say to you that what I'm walking away with in the moment is this relationship between fear and faith. Using fear as a motivator to seek enlightenment, answers, that light that guides you. The second thing is just your ability to forgive, not compartmentalize, not bury, not try to lock trauma, past trauma in a box, but to realize that all of it, you know, came lessons and enlightenment, because I think there is a lot of trauma on the planet. And then just the third, this sort of collective consciousness that I truly believe, and I'm very intuitive, you're here for a much bigger reason. It might be a speaker that's Tony Robbins caliber. It might be becoming a Oprah-esque in terms of a talk show host, or it might be just you're here to bring that dawn of Aquarius and maybe not make it take 80 years, but maybe we can move forward as a human race in a much more cohesive way. And maybe you're just here to play a part in doing that. But whatever you're here for, I'm so glad you're here today to talk with me and chat of the matters.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. And one thing you just said that if I can leave with people, that you're right. We can speed up time the quicker we come together. And we can speed up and change anything in any of our lives. But you have to believe it. No one else. You.
Returning to Chatter That Matters happens to be one of my favorite people on the planet, Sheila McGrogan, who's Director of Content Strategy at RBC. Sheila, that's quite a welcome, and I'd like to welcome you back.
Thanks for having me back, Tony.
I gave you a sneak preview of my chat with Tracy L. Clark, something I rarely do, and you came back with some fantastic edits, and I thank you for it because I think the show is so much better. But what I wanted to ask you is, you listened to the show. What did you think? I mean, to me, this is such an incredible journey. Tracy is such just a positive force of healing herself and healing others.
Yeah, Tony, Tracy's story is just so incredible and so inspiring. I think there are lessons we can all take away from her story, not only, you know, to learn how to change our perception of the obstacles that life throws at us, but also how to navigate them with greater ease and grace. I think her resiliency and her strength and perseverance that she exudes in overcoming unimaginable circumstances, honestly, is truly, it highlights sort of the power that we all have within us in navigating uncharted waters or embracing change.
It's interesting that you talk about what she overcame. And I'd say one of the key chords is her health. And then, you know, ironically, as she goes and becomes this energy healer. And we often hear your health is your wealth. And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Your health is your wealth. Absolutely. I think having good health, whether that's your physical health, emotional or mental health, is really the cornerstone to life. But the opposite is also true. Your wealth is your health. And, you know, if you have control over your money and your money is not controlling you, or if you've taken the steps to ensure that you're financially resilient to be able to navigate these uncertain times with greater confidence, I think that's really important. And when we have our financial health, we're more confident in our money matters. And as a result, we have access to greater freedoms and more choices and greater peace of mind.
You know, I wasn't going to bring this up, but you mentioned My Money Matters. And I know how hard you've worked on this initiative over the past year. So tell me, what's it all about? And why, in fact, does my money matter?
It's a great question. So money matters. It makes the world go around, right? But our My Money Matters financial well-being hub is a new site dedicated to supporting Canadians on their personal financial wellness journey. And the site offers articles and podcasts and videos, as well as tools and resources to help Canadians find answers and insights to their most pressing financial questions, whether that's managing expenses or navigating financial stress to topics such as marriage and money or financial parenting. The site is really designed to help guide people through their financial wellness journey.
I have one more question, if I can take advantage of the fact that I have this someone that's such a master of content. I mean, you do so much work really bringing across initiatives like My Money Matters. But when it comes to my life or Tracy's life, it's very much about personal branding, projecting our best and why we matter, whether that's the words we write, audio or video. What advice do you give to people with respect to their personal brands in terms of how they can get the attention that they need, want, and deserve?
Well, Tony, I think you're spot on there. Like, before anything happens, we all must sit down and understand whether you're going to be on Instagram or whether you're just living life and or whether you're interviewing for a job. I think understanding what your personal brand is and then being true, holding true to what that is and being your authentic self, like being real each and every moment of the day and being relevant with what you're bringing forward, whether you're bringing that into a new company as a new employee or whether you're bringing that to Instagram as an influencer. I think being relevant and being real and bringing your authentic self each and every day is what's going to differentiate you from others.
Sheila McGrogan, you always bring it, and you certainly brought it today on Chatter That Matters. Thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to chat with you again.
Thanks again, Tony. Great chatting.
Chatter That Matters has been a presentation of RBC.
It's Tony Chapman. Thanks for listening, and let's chat soon.